Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Beautiful day outside. So glad you're joining me here today at the cafe as we're getting deeper into Genesis chapter 9. It's a blessing to have you here today. Hopefully you're having a great day, a great week. Amen. Today we are looking, we're going to look at a couple of verses in Genesis 9. We'll look at Genesis 9, 2, and 3. To recap, yesterday we talked about the subject of race, always a delicate subject to tackle. But it doesn't need to be, because number one, I'm not denying that racism exists. If anything, I'm definitely aware that racism is real. And at the same time, I'm saying that it's not biblical to be racist and that the Bible has very clear, concrete instructions on it. But also the Bible doesn't just like harp on it too much, because what's the focus of the Bible? Man has sin. Man can't resolve his own sin debt. Man needs Jesus. God sends Jesus. Jesus pays the price. We accept Jesus. We're saved and go to heaven. Amen. That's the focus of the Bible. And why would race be such a big topic in the world today? I mean, I've heard a preacher say one time, anything the group is doing, be weary of. And so when the group gets all excited about race, which of course over the last decade or two, we've seen a lot of excitement over it, you wonder what's up. And I have to think it's to divert people or to confuse people away from the true gospel. And some years ago, I think about 3 years ago, I preached a message titled, "What is the Social Gospel? Is it Biblical?" And that is on our YouTube channel. You can just search that up. And it is one of the most viewed messages we ever had, because I think a lot of people deal with it and struggle with it, you know. And the point of the social gospel is that, again, it is diverting away from Christ and putting the focus on people's works. And our works can't save us. Amen. And when we get into the trap of just saying, like, let me parse out all of what Paul wrote and let me simply focus on what Jesus said, when we get into that, then we can become ignorant to the real gospel. Amen. And so, yes, racism is real, and the Bible solves it by softening our hearts, by taking our stony hearts and making them flesh again. Amen. By the Holy Spirit living. Look, if you're saved, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. Holy Spirit, He will guide you to love everybody of every creed and every race. And I'll go this far. He'll take you to a place, I believe, Lord, help me to say it, where you won't even notice. Like, you won't even know who you're talking to, or, you know, in terms of their ethnicity or their race, it won't even be a thing. Amen. You'll be past that. So that's my little tangent on there. And what we're going to do here is we're going to look at two simple themes from Genesis 9, 2, and 3. So what we'll do is we'll take a break. We're going to read those verses, and we're going to look at the theme of dominion and a new command. Okay, so stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Genesis 9, verse 2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Verse 3. Every moving thing that shall that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. And you know what? I'll put verse 4 in there as well. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. All right, so now we're getting back into very direct information from God, right? And we're seeing here in Genesis 9, verse 2, we're seeing that God has given man dominion. So it says here, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl or bird of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. I want you to think for a minute about your own life. Have you encountered an animal, a bird, a fish, an animal recently? Has it wanted to run up and hug you? Think about it. you know, you see a squirrel or a chipmunk and it takes a look at you and it sprints off, right? I was telling a story the other day because I was thinking of this verse. There is a wild turkey walking around our front yard area. And I told CJ, our youngest, come here, because he was eating cereal or something. And he ran over and he got on a little step stool and looked out the window. I said, you see that? And he said, where, Dad? And it was like right in front of him. I'm like, right in front of you, son. He's like, oh, yeah, I see it. And as we're talking, you know, I don't know if he touched the window or what, but that turkey took off. And then he ran to the door and that was it. You know, as soon as the door opened, that turkey was gone. Well, why is the turkey running away? Why is the chipmunk running away? Maybe you're a fisherman. Does that fish look real comfortable in your hand? That fish is either terrified still or it's flapping every bit of its body to get out of your hand. Why is it? God made it that way. God made everything to be afraid of you, essentially. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. These animals are fearful. Now, I know every once in a while, you know, you may see a viral video with like a, you know, a cheetah or a lion stalking some, you know, some safari personnel or somebody. But that, I think, is a highly, highly rare occurrence. And who knows what's going on there. But typically, even the big animals, you know, we've gone up to the mountains. I love to get out of town when I can, anytime I can, which is a tough sell to my wife because she's a homebody. I guess we balance each other out, but I'm like, let's go anywhere. You know, we live right at the foothills of the mountains. I'm like, let's go to the mountains or let's go to the beach. We'll get up in the mountains and you'll see bears up there. And you pull up on a bear. Now, I'm very careful. I wouldn't get out of the car or anything. But the bear isn't like running up trying to dominate me. That bear is running away. That bear is terrified or confused, you know. How about deer, you know? Deer, they're beautiful deer in our area. And there's a lot of wooded areas near where we live. And you see these deer. Now, yeah, you could get deer corn or something, maybe attract them. But often, they're running the other direction. Like, before you can even take a picture, they're out. And you say, well, Brother Clark, you're really hitting this point a lot. Well, the point I'm trying to make is that is a visual picture of the instinct that God put in the animal's heart. That is a visual picture. So the fear that these animals, that's a visual picture of God saying, I have given you dominion over all of these things. So God created everything and he created a hierarchy. That's why it's foolishness to say that some animal is on the same plane as man. Man is made in the image of God. The animals aren't made in the image of God. Amen. We are made in the image of God. And to say that this animal is the same as a human, that's complete nonsense. The animal doesn't have the intellect that a human has, the emotions that a human has. The animal has instincts, amen? And who gives the animal those instincts? Is it not God, amen? God gives animals instincts. I always think of migratory birds. You'll read crazy stories. For time's sake, I really shouldn't. I want to look up the migratory bird story because it's crazy. They can fly so far away. It's unbelievable what they do and how they do it. And it's like, why, you know, they're just evolved into that. Well, how did they evolve into that? You know, there are 650 species of migratory birds. They migrate, they have permanent residence, short distance, medium distance, long distance. They can travel very far. This is from allaboutbirds.org. They navigate, they have amazing navigational skills. They can follow a certain plane around a river, and they can nest in habitat along the river as they migrate. Amen. They can track these birds with trackers and see how far they're going. I mean, if you spend time studying migratory birds and their patterns, okay, you'll be blown away at how intelligent these birds are. But it's not them reckoning in their minds what to do. It's an instinct that God gave them to do. And you want to go one step deeper, it is God showing man that God's in full control. You know, you don't even have to look at how they migrate. Just look up in the air if they fly, you know, in a group. Amen. I know a group of fish is called a school of fish. I don't know if it's a school of birds, a flock of birds. I don't know. You see them. I see them all the time. And it's like an arrow, is it not? It's like a perfect triangle. Who did that? Every time you see these things, thank God for his glory. Thank God for the instinct he gave the animals. Thank God for the morals he gave us. I mean, this stuff goes very, very deep. And so what God is saying here in Genesis 9 is, Noah, you and your family, you have dominion over all these things. Amen. And now look at this. He says, Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Remember, before Noah's flood, as far as we can tell, man was vegetarian. Man was just eating vegetables, herbs, things from the ground, fruit. Now, God is telling man, for whatever reason, you can now eat the animals. And I have a couple of theories. One is the earth had just been flooded. So now there wasn't maybe a lot of vegetation growing at the time. Maybe the supplies on the boat were running low, or maybe they needed to use those to plant seeds and so forth. And it would take time. I mean, again, I've done research on plants. A lot of plants take months, and you know, a gardener is probably laughing at me that knows way better, but a lot of them take weeks, months, multiple months to really grow and mature. So it may have been that God knew it was time that they needed to start eating meat for survival, or maybe it was a different climate up there on the mountain, or maybe it was just God's plan. I have no idea why, but God knows, and that is the new command. So in the old way, it was eating plants, and if you ever wonder where does meat eating come into play, which we can then take all the way up till present day time, again, somebody right now is at the drive-thru, getting a hamburger, right? Okay, how do you play that all out? It started here in Genesis 9, verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you. But then God has a caveat, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Okay, and so that is also important that we are not to eat of the blood. That's what God is saying. And that's also, I believe, in the book of Leviticus. Well, here it is in Deuteronomy 12, 22 through 23. Even as the roebuck of the heart is eaten, so thou shalt eat them. The unclean and the clean shall eat of them alike. Only be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life, and thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh. And so we see this command again. And the blood is very precious to God. Amen. The blood is what? Is what's shed for the remission of sin. Amen. And so here we see, I think, a command to Noah that's saying, don't make light of this. You can eat and consume these animals, but don't eat of the blood, because the blood is very important, and the blood is how we're saved. It's the blood of Christ. Many people, I can't help it, you have to forgive me, but many people want to take the blood out of the gospel. It's Jesus' precious blood that was shed for the salvation of mankind. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We serve a Savior that shed his blood, amen. We talk about the blood-stained banner. It is the blood of Christ that saves us. It is not our works, it is not anything about us, and it is not some other thing other than the blood. Amen. All throughout the Old Testament, there is these sacrifices. What are they doing when they sacrifice? They're cutting these animals up and there's blood coming out. Amen. There is a blood sacrifice. We talked a lot about the burnt offering lately. And we see here that the blood is precious and the blood is not to be eaten because there is life in the blood. Amen. And so we see that then, and I'm not an expert on meat. I'm not a butcher. Amen. But I'll tell you, there are not a lot of dishes that have a lot of blood in them. I can think of I think it's a Thai dish that's like duck with blood in it. I was just absolutely disgusting. I saw it at a Christmas party once. But you know, like there's a guy that I know from church, he loves steak, but he says if there's blood on it, he won't go near it, you know, and he's not being theological. He just gets grossed out. But you see in our modern day diet, you don't see a lot of blood. So whether that traces back to this or not, I don't know. But surely God is very serious about this. And he goes on to get into greater detail about the blood that we're going to tackle in the next episode, that deals with the life being in the blood and also deals with commands for man not to shed other man's blood and so forth. And so we're entering a new era here, a fresh start, a replenishing of the earth. And in this new era, God is commanding Noah to do a new thing, to go ahead and eat of the meat, which presumably he had not eaten of before. And then that tradition will be carried on, as I understand it, throughout time. And of course, I know the Hebrews would come along later on, and there were certain things that were unclean for them that they wouldn't eat, but just man in general is now eating meat and continues till present day. So tune in next time. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place,